Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. Today is Thursday, May 17th, 18th, something like that. 17th, Thursday, May 17th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight. My co-host is Charlie Klein, and we're going to have a special guest tonight, Tina Trenner. She is a radio talk and television host, radio talk show host and television host, and she's with the Las Vegas Valley Tea Party. We're going to get into a discussion later on tonight in reference to the media, their role in our elections, and also our complaint. She found out about the FBI complaint we filed and is taking a close look at it and seeing about some other things we can do and how to promote the cause so that we have the rights to take back our elections. So we will be doing that the second hour. She's going to call in around 8 o'clock. And then up until then, we're just going to go over some general things. We're going to have a roundtable discussion. Here, as you know, American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, it's all about duty, honor, and country. We are here fighting the cause to take back this country, to save it. And our FBI complaint was all about taking back our vote. We're starting there. There's many things that we need to do to take back our country, but we believe we have got to do something about the invasion of the politicians. The politicians have taken over like any of us who are halfway involved know, your loss of your public, your liberties, your rights, and the way they waste our public assets, waste our tax dollars, et cetera, et cetera. We know we need to take back our country, and the way we do that is at the ballot box. But we have to get the ballot box back. Right now, we don't have ownership of that ballot box. The ballot box establishment, as we refer to it, is the one who actually owns and controls it right now. And they do this by a variety of things, as we've seen with the Republican presidential nomination process. Major, major election fraud going on there. Major manipulation of the process, just disgusting, to say the least. And then how they're aided by the media, which again is what Tina's going to help us talk about later on. How the media has influenced the elections, how they influence our lives every day, how they brainwash people. What was the thing with the Fairness in Broadcasting Act of, was it 1987? I think it was 1987, but passed in 89, I believe. But anyway, the Fairness in Broadcasting and what that did to us and how that was one way to start manipulating the airwaves. And then I just heard something, or I should say came across it as I was discussing some of this. There was, back in February of this year, Congress is selling the public airwaves. They're to pay for benefits. Now it's unbelievable what these people do to sell public assets, selling our infrastructure out from underneath us, selling the airwaves now, selling anything they can, and all to keep this entitlement program, this reckless spending, and keep their jobs so they keep giving money to their political friends. And this is what's killing us. I mean, forget Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's not the problem. It's these people in Washington, D.C., and in your state capitals, and in your city commissions, and in your county commissions, the local level. These people are not working for us. They are not working on our behalf. It's plain as day. Anyway, but we're going to get into quite a discussion, and I don't want to talk too much about the broadcasting piece right now because Tina will be joining us. And we're going to have, like I say, a little bit of a roundtable discussion the first hour here. And I haven't done a whole lot of paying attention to the news today, but there was definitely a couple things happening. There's more information floating through the Internet out there about Obama being born in Kenya. And I tried to go to the site to see this thing, and it's busy. And so that place must be getting umpteen hits on it right now. So once again, we're getting more of this information. And if anybody's got some more details on it, want to talk about it, please feel free to do so. I could not get to the one link and see the video, YouTube of it. But it looks like Obama's going to be facing some challenges getting on the ballot in some states, and that even includes Hawaii. Apparently there's some rules in Hawaii about having to show a birth certificate and the various challenges that have happened on that. So we'll see how that all plays out. But You know, there's, I don't know, I think it's like 6 or 8 states right now that are not going to have him on the ballot or something. I'm still trying to get the details on that. But the word is out there, and I mean, this came out, I'd say probably an hour or 2 hours ago, where I first saw an email on it, once again, about being born in Kenya, and more information or supporting documentation to that being the fact. So this is going to be interesting. And then the other thing is, there's been a lot of discussion in the past week, maybe 2 weeks now, about some kind of major event coming up before the election. And you can imagine a lot of things. When you think if President Obama wants to make sure he stays in office for a little longer, what would he do, or how could he trigger some kind of a national emergency, civil discourse, whatever it would be, some kind of civil war, or whether it be some other kind of attack? I don't know. What could he do? What could he himself try to trigger to make something happen? That's what keeps being speculated. And people will say, well, sometimes they're saying Obama's going to do it. Other times they're saying something's going to happen. I don't know. It's pretty scary when you think about something happening out there, all in the effort to try to keep somebody in office or to maintain that power. And many of us have believed that Obama's a socialist anyway, and he wants the power. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what you can believe or not believe on it, but I guess you just better be prepared for anything. Most of us have said 2012 was going to be a historic election, historic year, and I believe that's the case. I definitely believe we just have no clue or no idea, truly cannot appreciate what's truly all going to happen in the next few months. Then there's also maybe when Tina gets on, because Tina, like I say, she's with the Las Vegas Valley Tea Party, and I know some of the people from the Tea Party in Las Vegas have been complaining about the train to nowhere. And they were asking me a little bit about it, and I said, well, you know, they ought to make sure, if you're a true fiscal conservative, you ought to make sure that everybody knows it's not just Harry Reid's train, it's also John Micah's. Congressman John Micah, he's the rhino who sits at the chair of the House Transportation Committee, and he's the one who's been pushing for these high-speed trains all over the place. I mean, Micah's got lots of money to waste, you know. He can complain all he wants to about GSA, but look at what he's doing. He's wasted more money than they ever dreamed of. And while I would disagree with the money they waste, obviously, I don't support that, Micah is about as hypocritical as you can be when he talks about wasting money for trains to nowhere. That's what he wants. He's got another train to nowhere here in Central Florida, scam rail. We shut down, and people in Florida get confused. They think that we shut it down. Well, we the people voted no on multiple occasions for a high-speed train and for a commuter train here in Central Florida and things like that. So via the ballot box, we did say no, but because of the way the King George syndrome has taken over these people in public office, they said, oh, we don't care what you said. We're going to do what we want to. It's our money. It's not yours. We can do what we feel like. And that's exactly what they've done. So they've gone ahead through with the help and extortion of Congressman John Micah, because he literally extorted the vote, the decision to support scam rail. He told Governor Rick Scott, well, you know, I'm not going to make a decision on the funding for that Port of Miami project until you've decided about scam rail. I'm not going to make a decision until you've decided. So what he was saying is, if you don't give me my choo-choo train for CSX and my friends, then I'm not going to give you the funding for the Port of Miami. That's what it all meant. That's what it was. This is John Micah, a so-called conservative. No, he's not a conservative. He's a rhino. And he's been in Washington, D.C. for 20 years. Time to send him home. He's one of the fossils that have created the mess we're in. He created the TSA. You know, he's out there on the airwaves, on our public airwaves, out there acting like he's so fiscally conservative that he wants to waste billions and billions on the Harry Reid, John Micah train to nowhere in Las Vegas. And the people out there don't want it. It's the same thing as what happened here. These are these Agenda 21 people who want to tell us how to live. They don't want us to have cars. They want us to be on their trains. They want to control us. These people who promote one world order, one world government, like John Micah and Harry Reid. I mean, what a good combination. If you're a conservative, don't you love to be linked up with Harry Reid? If you you actually out there pretend to be a conservative, especially a fiscal conservative, pretend to be a conservative, but your alignment is with Harry Reid. There can't be anything stupider than that, you know, or more ridiculous. But, I mean, that's really the truth. John Micah has stood next to the liberals all along when it comes to wasting billions of dollars on useless transportation projects. They can't fix the highways. They want to put toll roads, and then they want to sell them to the public. Public-private partnerships, so they call them. But beware, public-private partnerships are the collusion of the private sector and government. It's the way government takes over everything. And if you want to live in a free society, you can't have that. So if you want the United States of America to go back to being a free society, we have to stop with all these public-private partnerships. And we have to stop letting people like John Micah waste billions and billions of dollars on transportation infrastructure that the people don't want and will do nothing. Literally, the train to nowhere. Neil Cavuto has reported on the train to nowhere. I believe John Stossel has also reported on it on Fox News. And the people in Las Vegas don't want it. But, you know, hey, it's easy money. Just throw it. It's just people's money. We've got billions of dollars to waste, right? That's their mentality. Anyway, enough on the Vegas train. And we'll see if Tina wants to share anything on that one when she comes on, too. But her discussion is going to be focusing on broadcasting and our complaint and how the two shall meet. What we're saying and how we talk about the fact the media has manipulated the election. They are part of the ballot box establishment in their own right, and we'll get into that piece of it. And let's see, then the other, before I get to Charlie here, we'll talk about good old Alan Grayson. Just for those of you who, you know, whatever, he's out there. He believe it or not, he's actually trying to get into Congress again. And I tell you, anybody that would vote for him, you know, whether you like Republicans or not, I mean, going around saying Republicans want you to die quickly, that guy is nuts. But we'll see what happens with him. And then the only other real thing is. The Romney delegates, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, too, when we get closer to Tina and when she's on, because the media has misreported what's happening with the GOP delegates. And that's, I think, part of the complaint we were going to talk about, too, and how they have violated what they're supposed to do. When they get a license to use the public airwaves, what they're supposed to do. So we'll get into that as well. And on that note, let me go ahead and see if... Charlie has anything to say. Hey, Charlie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I got something to say regarding our complaint.
Okay.
For those of you who remember this, Tim Adams was running for mayor of Orlando. And we put out a little notice some time ago, those of us who were saw what was happening to him. But Tim Adams was denied his constitutional rights to be on the ballot in Orlando by some little twisting or whatever, turning of the rules. I remember there was a big controversy on it, and it's something that may fall into our complaint, We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. So if anybody out there has any information on this where it's actually proven that he was violated and that he did not, his rights were questionable, or they could have gone either way, but instead they were denied him because they didn't want him on the ballot, we would like to have that information so that we may use it as a talking point or add it to the evidence that we have already compiled. We have sufficient evidence already to go forward with this, and then with what we're hearing from the people in Las Vegas, Nevada, their complaint is going to even add more to this, our complaint, to where they will probably be able to use the same lawsuit, the same complaint, and go to the FBI there and start another investigation on the West Coast. The whole thing about this is, if you've got people in any state that have complained about the way the ballot box has been violated or their suspicions of it, make sure they get a copy of our complaint by going to www.americanstatesman.org and have them pull it up and make copies of it and get it to their friends. Because the only way you're going to take back this country is by we the people getting back together. Because what Sally has just said in regards to the sale of our airwaves, there is nothing in the Constitution that gives Congress the right to sell anything that belongs to we the people. They can't sell our infrastructure, they can't sell our roads, because they didn't pay for the roads. We did. We the people paid for them. All they are our representative servants. And as such, they have no rights other than to be a servant to us and to make sure that we are happy with what they are doing. Anything above that falls into the heading of collusion, conspiracy, corruption, dishonesty, fraud, theft, bribery, and therefore felonies galore. And that is what may happen when we get this complaint completely investigated. Sally and I have made a vow that we are not going to stop pushing this. We now have people across this country who are all on our side and actually on the side of we the people. This is not a Sally and Charlie issue. This is an American issue. This is for the people of the United States of America to have their freedoms restored to them and have their freedoms guaranteed back to them as the Constitution so dictates. Those who are violating our rights are the tyrants of America. And the majority of them are in elected official offices, such as Bell, California. You heard about those commissioners there and the high-priced police officers and everything else? That is a violation of the rights of the citizens of Bell, California. They should be picking up one of these complaints and adjusting it and editing it for their use in Bell, California, and going after each and every one of those people with an investigation. This is the way this country can be brought back to we the people. Sally and I can't do it all from here in Orlando. And fortunately, we have people in Las Vegas like Vicky Tina, and also out in Citrus County, we have Edna. And we have SaveAmericaFoundation.com. They also have our complaint in their website. SaveAmericaFoundation.com has been with Sally and me, backing Sally and me, ever since we came out with the very first rough draft of our complaint. Since then, we have, how would you say, reworked it about five or six times. We revised it five or six times until we finally came up with the one that is people like, and we are getting compliments on it. We did this all for our country. And let me tell you, it was a lot of work put into it, and we are not about to go ahead and let it go down the tubes because of some little quirk in the law system. The Constitution, when we were doing this, the Constitution protects we the people over tyrants, over the elected, over everybody. And the Supreme Court, by law, which is the Constitution, is to uphold the law, therefore uphold the rights of we the people first and foremost. It is in there. And when you read Amendment number 10, when the very last thing it says, or to the people, that means if there is nothing done at the very beginning of Amendment number 10, in the middle of number 10, or towards the end of number 10, and it reverts back to the people have a right to do it. And that is mentioned, or to the people, more than once in our Constitution. So if those of you who are skeptical or afraid that you may be considered a radical or a, how would you say, a terrorist or something like that?
Extremist.
Or extremist. Just brush it off, because you will actually be a patriot, because you will be standing up for your rights and for the rights of every American in this country. You will be like those at the Alamo who died for our country, but yet have never been given the proper recognition that they deserve. But I'll tell you what, we can celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but we can't celebrate the Alamo. The Alamo deserves its own holiday to recognize those who died and were slaughtered by Santana. This is what you have to do, ladies and gentlemen, if you want your country back, is to get involved. And Sally and I have just opened the door to doing things so that we, the people, can do things for our good, because if you will notice, congressmen and women are not holding town hall meetings like they used to because everybody's so mad. Well, we're mad because they're not working for us. They're working for themselves, their families, their friends, their relatives, their business partners, and the special interests who put them in office with money, who bribe them to do something. We have the culture of corruption. Is they now mostly reside in the District of Criminals, which is Washington, D.C. They are supposed to be in their district where you live so that you can get in touch with them. That was the original intent of the Constitution of the United States and our Founding Fathers, for people to go to Washington when it was needed, but not to live there and make it a lifestyle. Their lifestyle was supposed to be working for the good of the American people and America, and then going to Washington to make sure that everything was done legally. They have reverted to doing everything in Washington, thinking they're making everything legal, but actually they're in violation. They're in violation of the law of the land. And hopefully that, I am confident that this complaint will open the eyes of millions and millions of Americans to do what is right and to bring justice back to America for the people of America, and that those who have violated the Constitution will be justly dealt with in a court of law and not at the end of a gun. We do not want to have a bloody revolution. We want to do it properly, effectively, and in the best interest of all Americans. And if those who have been doing wrong to America over these years, they make complete and total restitution, they may be able to avoid going to jail. But if not, and if there's any question of their that they're dishonest with the people, if they are in the slightest bit acting like they have trying to get away with something, as far as I'm concerned, put them away for the rest of their lives. And also, their families, as far as I am concerned, they are just like a drug dealer. If the drug dealer gets caught, then the wife loses everything that she's built up to, because she was living and spending the drug money. Well, the wives and family members of our elected officials, if they get caught stealing from us, like the one that got $10 million earmark so that he could build a building in Pennsylvania for at his family, and his fam put his family to work, and then they bankrupted our tax dollars. If he doesn't have the $10 million, him and all of his family members should be poor. And all that property belongs to we the people, and we'll sell it. But then he will just walk around in skivvies, as far as I'm concerned, because he's the one that did the wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on a path to starting to restore the great honor that this country has always had in the past. but it has been diminishing because of all of the spending and the lying and the cheating that has been going on from people that we trusted and put into higher offices to do what is right for all of us. It is now to make them pay the piper, which is us. And the way you do it is by taking action. And so we invite you to join us in this action to help restore all of your rights. We want to go ahead and reverse the Patriot Act, which takes away your rights. We want to reverse the National Defense Authorization Act, which takes away your rights. And we want to restore all of the rights to Ramos and Campion. And take them. We want to take the rights away from the judge and the prosecuting attorney who prosecuted them, because they should have prosecuted the drug dealer. We need to find out who's getting kickbacks from the drug dealers. I believe it's 75% of Congress, because they didn't sign the petition to release the drug border guards. We also, why is it taking Congress so long to get information from Eric Holder regarding Fast and Furious that caused Terry his life? If they cannot prosecute their own, or won't prosecute their own, which is I'm beginning to believe, then we the people will have to prosecute them. So ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time for all of us to take action. And today's show should be a great one. I hope you will stay tuned and tell your friends about it. I got one thing I want to read right now so you understand where Sally and I are coming from when we talk about the RNC, Republican Party, the Democrat Party, and the powers to be. Collusion. A secret agreement for fraudulent or treacherous purposes and conspiracy. Law. A secret understanding between two or more persons to gain something illegally, to defraud another, which means we the people, of his or her rights, which they have already done, or to appear as adversaries though in agreement. Collusion of husband and wife to obtain a divorce. A small group of secret plotters as a cabinet or government or person in authority. The plans and schemes of such a group. So basically collusion is between the RNC, the DNC, the FEC, the Florida Department of, or the Florida Secretary of State, who, by the way, gives a check from the filing fee to the executive committee. And there is no executive committee in the state of Florida government. But there is in the Republican Party, and I'm sure there's one in the Democrat Party. So why is it that a person has to pay a poll tax to get on the taxpayer's ballot? The ballot does not belong to the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. You can't find it anywhere in the Constitution. And any law made that is not constitutional is moot. It is Sally's and my intention to take this all the way if we have to. And we can prove damages if we have to go to court. And the damages, right, Sally?
Correct.
Will be exorbitant.
Yeah, you think of the taxation without representation. How much have we been unfairly taxed? I think we could come up with a pretty big number.
Oh, I would say that just alone on the SunRail, that's what we call a scam rail. That'd be $2.5 billion coming out of Congress's pockets, personal pockets.
For all Americans, with a big part of it for us here in Florida.
Right. I mean, all of that would go for the people here in America, Florida, except for the federal stuff, the $150 million for the feds. But then all of the state people would get their money, and it would also come from all of the builders who have already spent their money building something based on the promises of the elected officials.
Well, the builders can go have their own lawsuit, but you know the broken contracts. It was a bogus contract to begin with because they did it against the will of the people. We voted no. So we actually go back, to me, when it comes to the financial aspect of that, we go back to when we voted no, and then everything they spent promoting rail since then. And that includes Metro Plan Orlando and all these stupid MPO thing, Metropolitan Planning Organizations that are all taxpayer-funded. Yeah, there's money. There's so much money tied into this kind of garbage. We have lots of damages.
Right. Well, we know of $44 million that Mayor, former Commissioner Teresa Jacobs made.
Now mayor.
And now she's the mayor, but she made that motion to spend, to allot $44 million for further studying commuter rail after we the people said no to the rail system in Mobility 2020.
Yep.
Oh, that there is collusion to the hilt. That is collusion with. How is it? Collusion, that is actually an overthrow, an attempt to overthrow the sovereign of America, because the citizens of the are the sovereign government of America, according to the Constitution. That is something else, and that is what we have been saying before. That's what we're going to continue to say, because that is what the Constitution of the United States says. It reverts back to we the people, the true government of America. When we say no at a ballot box, that means no. You want to spend money and continue the thing? You better get the money from private enterprise, not the taxpayers. So it's going to be quite interesting to see which way we go. Because, like I said, we have momentum now. We have people across this country who are familiar with the complaint. And they are planning on using it in their own state. And that is very gratifying. Okay, Sally, back to you.
Okay. I want to kind of go back on one thing that Charlie was talking about, when talking about the collusion of the parties and the governmental entities and things like that. I mean, there can be no more perfect example than the state of Florida is collecting money for the political parties. So if you want to run for public office, you have to, and it's a poll tax. It really amounts to a poll tax. They'll call it something else. They call it a filing fee. But when you go out there and you charge $10,440 to be placed on a ballot for the sake of giving money to one of those two or one of the political parties, depending on how many political parties are actually on the ballot. And then the state goes out there and is a fundraiser for a political party. That's collusion to the max. The state should never be a fundraiser for the political parties. And then they go and penalize the no-party affiliates by charging $6,700. And who knows what they do with that money? You know it doesn't cost them $6,700 to put someone's name on the ballot. That's all bogus. It's a ripoff. It's a scam to try and get money. And then the people don't even have the right to be on the primary. So the filing fees here in Florida, there can be no doubt it's the collusion of the government and the political parties. There is absolutely no other way. And it's collusion with a Florida Leadership Fund to allow any kind of public entity, any kind of public office, officers, to in any way collect and raise money laundering, for the point of giving money to political entities. Totally, totally collusion, totally illegal, totally unethical. I mean, Florida could have passed a law to say you can rob a bank, but that doesn't mean it's right. You know, is money laundering legal because they passed a law to say it was? Not really. You know, so some of these things, they try to manipulate the law for their own benefit. And since they're manipulating it to cover themselves, you know, it's up to us to take these kind of actions to draw attention to it and to demand change. And it's going to take a lot of us doing it. It's going to take more than just me and Charlie. There's no two ways about that. And the point that Charlie was making, too, and we've had people ask us about filing their own complaint. What do they got to do to file a complaint? And we told them what we did. We did our research. We did our homework. We put together our complaint. And then we went down to the FBI office and made a formal complaint there. Now, we've been asking people to contact their local FBI office, follow up on the complaint, and also to call the Maitland, Orlando FBI office and ask about it. And then do your own complaint. what we put out there, and, I mean, you can reference pieces of it, whatever. I mean, it's not going to look too good if you try to copy the exact same thing and file it in your state, because some of the numbers and things won't matter, because we made reference to a Florida Supreme Court case, Wagner v. Gray. That won't make sense in your state. We've got Florida filing fees, which you can use as a reference point, but, you know, you need to modify it to make it match your state laws and your situation there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, put other stuff in. You see other things happening locally. You know of individuals who were denied a right to run for public office, and how they've the collusion within the various government entities or the parties. Do your own thing with it. We need more, as many people out there as we can possibly get to be out there challenging this. Do not let it. Don't assume because we've done this that we've got the answer here. This is only the beginning. This
That's
is truly
right.
the beginning of it, and people have to be adamant about contacting their media about it and contacting the various entities involved, and the FBI. Do your own thing. If you have, in fact, run for office and you don't think you had a fair chance to be on the ballot because of the games they play, and you can show you got the receipt, you know what you paid for, you know the damages, the financial damages, because you were not given a fair chance to seek public office, then you can take that to the court and sue for the damages. Personally, I'd rather us get together and move forward to take back the ballot box. And then once we get that part done, going and seeking the compensation or financial compensation for what you've been damaged, then I think
The most important part that Sally and I are really working on is to restore the honest intent of our Constitution back to the people. So what we're saying is this lawsuit, this complaint, when we get going with it, the only plea bargain that Sally and I would, or anybody should ever accept wherever they're at, whatever state they get it, is to go in and be able to correct the wrongs of legislators past and present. In other words, going from the present all the way past to the back and correcting all of the wrongs. If they wrote a bill that granted them a raise that was not approved by the people and it was thought to be exorbitant, the committee would say, well, this is illegal, and take it out, and the local and the judges would be asked to declare it unconstitutional. And the parties would be in agreement to avoid going to prison, because they're the ones that put it in. The whole thing about it, ladies and gentlemen, is we want to restore honesty back in our government. And then if we have a hard time and we have to go any further and we do have to file in a court of law, then by all means, that's when we're going to ask for the compensation from each and every elected official who has violated the Constitution, and we can get them on it, because if they voted for anything at all that was in violation of the rights of the people, they would be guilty. And in Florida, we actually have representatives who were not in their seats when an important vote came on, and they got somebody else to go over and vote for them.
And that's happened.
They were
happening nationwide.
And if that's happening nationwide in state legislators,
mm-hmm.
then every state legislator or legislation is in violation of the Constitution of the United States, because they were not representing the people, because they were not in their seats. And whoever went over there to vote for them and whoever condoned it, which is the whole legislature, they were in collusion with the one who did the voting and the one who requested the voting. And I don't care if they put it in their works to say it's okay for us to vote when we aren't here, I just have to leave my approval or disapproval, that doesn't cut it with me. That doesn't cut it with we the people. You're supposed to be on the job. That's what you're paid for.
That's right. If you're not there, don't vote.
That's right.
The other thing, too, just to kind of clarify, when we talk about going after them for the wrongs of things they've passed and restoring our rights and things like that, you got to understand that when they stole the vote, you know, it's my most basic equation there. A stolen vote is a stolen election is a stolen country. When they refuse to let us elect a representation of our choice, we have no representation, and they are acting in a fraudulent manner, and meaning that they aren't truly our representatives. That we don't know who they are because we didn't elect them. We're not sure how that, you know. We know that we did not elect them because the process has been so corrupted that we no longer have the representation of our choice. And when you know that the people that are in office are not our elected representatives, they are, in fact, the chosen ones from the political parties and the collusion with the various government entities, offices, and things like that. They are, I don't want to use the word illegally elected, but they are definitely not properly elected. They should not be there. They've made decisions when they were not, in fact, our true representatives. They are a fraudulent representative.
They made promises to the people to represent the people, but in essence, when they get into their elected capacity, they represent themselves, their family, their friends, their special interest donors.
Yeah, but they were
businesses.
Never. The point is, they truly weren't elected from the people. They said whatever they wanted to on the campaign trail, just like we hear today.
Just to get us to vote for them.
Well, but we didn't have a choice of who was on the ballot.
That's right.
The fact that we don't have a choice of who's on the ballot, we don't have a choice of who we want to vote for.
That's right.
The corruption of the ballot box has gotten to the point where we truly don't elect anyone. Now, you can say the people elected Obama. And to a certain degree, that's true. A lot of people did vote for Obama on the general ballot. However, when it came down to the process of how he got on the ballot, how the various people on the other side got on the ballot, the Republican, how the no-party affiliates are not allowed, or, you know, they're stuck on the general ballot without a primary and without any media and things
right.
like that. So once again, we don't truly get to elect. And that's what this is all about. We will never clean up this government if we can't elect the representation of our choice.
And if the media...
Yep.
And the media for all of these years has been using our airwaves, but they have elected to, how would you say, only push or promote the Democrat and Republican parties instead of promoting the Green Party, the Constitution Party, the Reform Party, and all the other parties. Because they don't want, they say, well, they aren't in the running. Well, you don't know if they're in the running if they don't get the coverage. So actually what should happen is, during the election time, there should be equal access to the airwaves of the people for anybody who pays a fee. First on a local basis, and then they go to the national basis once they are getting momentum built up in the states. Because there are some people who don't deserve to be on the ballot, but they've got the money to do it, so who cares? Eventually they'll be they won't get the votes, and then you have the primaries, and we wind up coming up with people that we want. And now we have the go process, which means that would be like a testing process for every position, elected position in the country. The go process will weed out those who don't know anything about the Constitution or the laws. Or what's right. It'll make sure that the person that is actually running has at least the equivalent of a high school education, that they can read, write, and do arithmetic and the basics.
Well,
that's what the GO process will do.
Well, I don't know that GO actually gives anybody a reading test or a math test. But
no,
for those who aren't, do you want to explain the GO process? You want me to give a kind of a quick, for those who aren't familiar.
You go ahead and explain the GO process, because that's the one process where the people would be, who are educated, will wind up on top. Those who are not educated will be washed out just because they don't understand things and they probably don't have the kind of education that you would want in office.
Personally,
so
I actually want some less educated people. We've had too many attorneys in Washington. So.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm talking about high school educated, but you want somebody that has some knowledge of the Constitution and who can read and write and do arithmetic. You don't want somebody coming in there that can just talk. You want them to be able to read. That's what I'm driving
at. When you say uneducated, it kind of sounds kind of strange. So it's a matter of believing and doing the right thing for the country, being a statesman versus being a politician.
That's right.
But the main thing with the GO process, which Tim Cox, he's in Texas, and he was the one who founded it. And we do have some GO candidates here in Florida. I don't have my list in front of me. But basically, the GO process, you go. You can learn more about it at www.gooh.com. It's GO, not goo. We stepped in goo, so now we have to go and get them out of our house. It's a process to select candidates from your district. And they started with the House of Representatives first, even though the process can be used for any office. The whole point is a vetting process. People of a district, a congressional district, get together and ask questions, and the person who is going to be the GO candidate makes a commitment to honor what they said. They said they, you know, because the vetting process is, would you vote for or against this? Would you vote for or against this? You know, it's a matter of fact, how would you vote on these issues? So if you're selected as the GO candidate, then you are obligated to stick to your pledge. You said this is how you took a contract, basically. It's a contract with the people that this is what you're going to do. If you violate that contract, then you will be liable to the GO group, and you wouldn't be able to be a GO candidate again. GO is not a political party by any means or anything like that. It's a process for the people of the district to pick a candidate. And then, basically what happens, and this is where the party part gets in here, if a person, because GO doesn't care what party you're affiliated to or with, but if the incumbent, say like a John Micah or whoever, the incumbents are usually one of the two parties. If you want to get elected, the strategy, it's a strategy to say you should run against them in the primary to bump them out. You want to get rid of them in the primary, and then that would give you a better chance in the general. And if you have the support of your district in the primary, you have a better chance to run against them. And so that's the strategy to tell you to run or how to get elected against the corrupt and crooked incumbents that have been there forever and ever. Because that's the whole point. We want to get rid of the career politicians. We want to evict them out of our house. But because the political parties are so corrupt, you know, if you don't go in that same party to try to run against them, it's very difficult to run as a no-party affiliate in those kind of elections and those kind of things. But you have to beware. You know, you're the GO candidate. The people of the district actually vetted you and wanted you to be there. So they helped you get your petitions. They helped raise the money, do whatever they had to do to help you get on the ballot as the candidate for their district. But you got to understand that political party is going to be out there supporting that good old John Micah routine or whoever's in there, because that's the way they do. They support the incumbents, and it's just the corruption of the establishment. That's the other piece of this, you know. So,
right.
So the GO process is good, yeah.
And the nice thing about the GO process is you select somebody from the district who you want, and you are not told who to vote for by the executive board of the Republican or Democrat Party. They will put their candidate on there, but you can select somebody who you really think will do a good job for you because they live in your neighborhood and their intent is to stay in the neighborhood. And what another thing we need to do is we need to say that from now on, we want all of our representatives working in their districts 3 weeks out of the month and 1 week in Washington. That will save us tons of money on just air travel and also on housing while they're in Washington. They can stay at home, which will save us money. And they can have a nice office near a Publix or Winn-Dixie store or something where we, the people, can get to it instead of in those nice office buildings where you have to park in a garage. That way they'll be accessible to everybody who has a compliment or a complaint.
When you talk about excuse me. When you talk about the offices, I have to get this in there. And also, Tina is on standby here for us, so we're going to go to her. When you talk about offices, this, and I've said this several times to good old John Micah, Rhino Man. How many offices does a congressional representative need to have? I think he's got either 6 or 8 offices. How many offices do they need? So you want to talk about wasting money. That's one of the biggest. He needs a train to go to all those different offices, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
That's it. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, let's get Tina.
I didn't mean to cut you
let's
off.
Get her on.
Any last minutes, any last
no,
words
no,
on that
let's
before?
Let's get her on. Let's get the guest on.
Okay. Tina is here, and we're going to get her on now. Tina, as I mentioned at the start of the show, Tina Trenner, she is a television host, radio talk show host, a broadcaster to the max, and she's also with the Las Vegas Valley Tea Party. She saw our complaint. She learned about our complaint that we filed with the FBI, and she's quite interested in it, and she's got a different angle to talk about with the role of broadcasting, the Fairness in Broadcasting Act that was passed. And because, you know, we discuss as part of our complaint the media is part of the establishment stealing our votes, stealing our elections. And so we're going to get into, she's going to talk to us about some of the complaint, what it means to us. She'll be somewhat interviewing us on the complaint, asking us questions about that. But then we're going to also talk about broadcasting in the media and how the media influences our elections and those types of things. So on that note, Tina, welcome to the show.
Very glad to be with you, Sally. And yes, I'm just thrilled about what you're doing and think that you have perhaps found the, I like to think of the progressives and the movement to take our country down. I like to think of them as an old sweater, and I keep thinking that somewhere on that old sweater is a very loose piece of yarn, and all you have to do is pull it, and the whole thing's going to come undone. And I think you may have found the loose string.
Thank you. Thank you, Tina.
Yes, thank
That's
you.
Very, very, very heartwarming.
I really think you guys may have done it, and it's now a process of bringing it together. Because I've been in broadcasting my whole life, I had a national radio show, and unfortunately was hit by an 18-wheeler, and it almost canceled me, but it did cancel the radio show. And so I haven't been on the air with that. And it was by the time I was well enough to go back on the air, I couldn't find a job because it was years. But in the meantime, I have owned stations. My husband and I own stations around the country, our last being here in Las Vegas, Nevada, where I'm from. And we witnessed in 1988, I believe it was, Al Gore rewrote the broadcasting rules for the nation. When the FCC first wrote the broadcasting rules, they were in favor, of course, of We the People. And the broadcasters broadcast with a license that is granted to them through the FCC, the Federal Communications. And that is not a right. To own a broadcasting license is a privilege. And then you have to abide by the rules and regulations of the FCC. Well, prior to Al Gore, I mean, just saying the word makes your, you know, the hair on your back stand up thinking of him in charge of anything. But with him writing these new rules, he eviscerated the rules that we had that were originally set up to protect the people, and because they are to broadcast in the public interest. And this is something that everyone listening to this has to understand. You have a license, and I'm talking about over the air. I'm not talking about cable television. I am talking about over the air broadcasts, whether it's your local radio station, whether it's your local NBC affiliate who broadcasts over the air. These people are granted permission to broadcast in the public interest. And they have, you know, for instance, we have an NBC affiliate here in Vegas. His license is probably worth so many millions of dollars you can't imagine. And if someone pulled that license away from him, he would have a business. He would still have a structure, and he would have some TV cameras and some desks. But other than that, he would have nothing. And this is what you have to understand. The physical part of a TV station can be worth, you know, several hundred thousand dollars. But the real value is the permission from the FCC to broadcast. But you have to broadcast in the public interest. And when they are not reporting on, for instance, and I'll give you a perfect for instance, when on New Year's Eve, Obama signed the NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act, and he signed into power for himself and future dictators. He signed that he was able to pick us up off of the streets and make us disappear. And he took our Fourth Amendment right completely away with one swipe of his ink pen. I defy people to show me where that was reported at any length on any NBC affiliate. I don't know that it was reported at all. I never saw it, and I would like to go back and find out if they ever covered it at all. So when you're looking at broadcasting in the public interest, and you have a license from the government to do this, and you're not doing it, you are running afoul of the government. You're running afoul of your commitment to the community and to the people. And let me tell you that any citizen, anyone listening to me, can file against that facility and challenge their right to have that license, and you could virtually take that license away from somebody. You could end up owning their license, and you can do that as a citizen by challenging their right to broadcast if they are not broadcasting in the public interest and not reporting things like Ron Paul having 10,000 people show up and nobody bothers to mention it. Hello, is anybody paying attention? Well, we're not going to tell you that. We don't want you to know. Well, isn't that an interesting thing? How interesting is it that they want to keep that a secret from you? Why? You have to ask why. What are they up to? But the point is here, what you're saying is what you're doing absolutely goes after them for one thing, but you gave me the idea that we could also do the same exact thing in every single community, and NBC is a perfect target because they're just like in bed with Obama. Am I right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So and every NBC affiliate carries the NBC News.
Right.
And then they cover their local news. So you can, I promise you, I mean, just our NBC affiliate here in Las Vegas, when the first Tea Party was held, I live 60 miles from Las Vegas, so it was a hike for me. It's a 120-mile round trip, right? So they were going to have the first Tea Party get-together over at a park called Sunset Park in Las Vegas. So I thought, well, by golly, I'm going to drive over there. So I did, and there were thousands of people, thousands. So I parked and walked into the mix, and there was a police officer standing there, and I said, my goodness. I said, have you guys made an estimate? How many people are here? He said, well, we're estimating between 3,000 and 4,000. Okay, not 5 minutes later, I see the NBC news vehicle go by. They're driving away. And so, you know, I didn't think much of it, but that night I watched the NBC affiliate, and they reported about the Tea Party and what was going on at Sunset Park. So I thought, well, this is going to be cool. No. It was a few disgruntled people that were out there, and they said maybe just a few hundred.
Oh, my goodness.
It was dismissed. Okay. So this is what they're doing even on a local basis. Now, let me tell you another really interesting story. I have a friend who moved from here to Georgia several years ago, and she has three children. She's divorced. She moved back there to start a new life. So about 3 years ago, I was talking to her on the phone, maybe two years ago, I was talking to her on the phone, and I said, by the way, I said, because you're in Georgia, are you a Tea Partier? And there was just this blank, you know. She went, what? And I said, Tea Party. I said, are you involved in the Tea Party? And she said, I don't know what you're talking about. So it kind of made me mad at her because the woman has three children. You know, I said, are you not paying attention to the news? You have children. You have a responsibility. She said, of course. I turn the news on when I walk in every night. I turn the news on. I said, okay, stop right here. Do not tell me one more word. I'm going to tell you. And she said, what? And I said, you watch NBC News. And she said, how do you know? I said, informed, honey. And she was so mad when I told her. I said, you're not getting the whole story. They're not showing you anything. She said, oh, my gosh. I turn on NBC just as I walk through the door. I'll never watch them again. But this is how they've lied to the people. So what I'm saying is, if we all decide that we're going to start out, and let me also tell everyone, any broadcast facility, over-the-air broadcast facility, has to have what is called a public file. The FCC goes in and goes through that public file and sees exactly what that station has been doing regarding many things within the community and whether it's living up to its obligations and whatever. But they don't necessarily have to have what stories they ran or anything like that. That's not something that they have to have in there. Used to be that they had to have public service announcements, but Al Gore got rid of that. So now if you have a 501c3, say, you know, got the Humane Society or Crippled Children's Organization or something like that, as opposed to requiring that broadcasters put a public service announcement on the air at no cost to that charitable organization, they withdrew that and made it to where the broadcaster can go ahead and charge you. So now if you see a public service announcement, generally it is from the organization's own pocket that in order to be able to run it. And let me tell you that the other day I saw a commercial on Fox that We the People paid for promoting the EPA, and it just, oh God, just lit my hair on fire. You've got the EPA running a commercial about how great they are and to support them because you do want clean air for your children, don't you? And it's just amazing because we paid for that spot.
Pay for that, so, and then at the same time, when it comes to a truly honorable, you know, the Humane Society and those kind of things, they try to block them. But I think the thing that, you know, again, people don't understand, most people who aren't as engaged in this discussion as you and I are, excuse me, is that it was a Democrat who blocked your access from the public information to the public airwaves. To go out,
yes,
there, it was a Democrat that charged you for that public access time, who allowed them to charge, and took away your rights to more of that. And yet, this is why the parties mean nothing. I mean, the parties don't represent anybody except their own interest. But, I mean, you get people out there who think the Democrats are out there working for the working class and supporting them, and this is just more proof that they're just gaming the system against us like anybody else.
And
like
not only that, but let me tell you that Al Gore designed the new Broadcasting Act, and old George Bush, when he came into office, signed it into law. So they're in cahoots.
Right.
They are definitely taking all of our rights away from us. And let me also explain to people that prior to the act that they put into place in 1988 or 89, whenever it was, that particular the law stated that you cannot own more than one AM and FM station in any community. So in total, you could only own 7 AMs and 7 FMs. And they could not have signals that overlapped. So I couldn't own a radio station in Las Vegas and one in, say, Laughlin, where the signals would touch each other. I would have to go to Phoenix or someplace else. And the wisdom behind that was that you could not amass the the influence that a radio station gives you. Owning a radio station opens every single door. You have no idea. When we owned an all-news station in Las Vegas, and the calls from the governor's offices and the senators and the congressmen, everyone wanted to be on our list, and everyone wanted access to us because we gave them access to the community that way. And so when you think about the reason that they said you could only own 7 AMs and 7 FMs, there was a great wisdom behind that, because they knew if they didn't do that, that you would end up with the problems you have today, because they took away that rule, and they now have what's called duopoly. And now you can own as many radio stations. In fact, Clear Channel alone owns 1,500 radio stations around the nation. So Clear Channel has the ability to pump out whatever information they want 1,500 radio stations to know, and every one of those radio stations have hundreds of listeners, and they pump out the information if that's what they want to do, and they're capable of doing it. So it's really become a cabal. It's part of the whole taking down of this nation. I don't understand how people don't feel it, how people don't see it. You can practically taste it. And I became aware of it in 1986. So I've been studying this for a long, long time. And just so happens, I knew a man from Canada, and he informed me and showed me some pretty good proof. And from then on, I've been studying it. I'm just not very welcome at Christmas.
Not surprised there. But it's amazing how many people, and I remember a while back when they were changing that rule to allow one company to own as many stations as they wanted, and I'm like, no, people, that one, we say we don't believe in monopolies, well, duopoly, it's the same thing, and then the other is it controls the message. It controls whoever has the money is going to give you the brainwashing that they want. It's like you don't have freedom of the press. You don't have free communication, open communication, if a few people control the whole message. And you just couldn't get people through it. And it's like,
Look at this thing today. I don't know if you've seen Drudge. Have you seen the Drudge Report?
Not today. I have not.
No.
It came out a little while ago. And I think about 3 hours ago, there was a publisher in 1991 who was going to publish a book by a guy named Barack Obama. And the title of this it's like a bio. Born in Kenya, raised in Indonesia and Hawaii, it says.
I have several emails that have come through with that heading on it, and I was trying to get to the website to see some YouTube or whatever it was on it, and the website is either blocked or something right now, or just overloaded.
Well, Breitbart, it's probably just overwhelmed. Breitbart broke it, and Drudge posted it. And I read it a little while ago. Nothing that any of us that are on top of this didn't already know. But here's the question I have. Now what happens, Sally? What happens now? Because we've got a real hot potato. What happens to a guy who is not qualified to be the president of the United States? What do you do with that guy? What do you do? I mean, is this some sort of coup? Who got him in there? The questions keep going. How many people are involved in this cover-up? Is the FBI involved in the cover-up? Is the CIA involved? Who else is involved in this obvious cover-up? This blatant disregard for the Constitution, which Obama has very vocally already admitted to his contempt for the Constitution. So
exactly.
No one should be surprised that he would do it. But I just worry about how much deeper this goes. What does it take? Does it take looking into our own FBI? I mean, I had a friend of mine, who was in the military, and he said, I was in a secure area in the military, and he said, I'm telling you right now, just by the friends that this guy associated with, he couldn't get clearance. He could never be in the military. So how are they going to let him see everything that's going on? He said, who's vetting this guy? So, and is the DNC completely involved in this? How many people deep is the question I'm asking that have been covering this up? And do we have trials? Is he arrested? Is this treason? Is this just a felony?
Ooh.
I don't know. What if
you hit the word on an oath?
That would be
total treason, because it isn't. He has been acting to overthrow the sovereign of America. He is fundamentally changing America, which is also a violation of our rights, we the people, because you just don't come in and fundamentally change anything. And those who were in responsible for the vetting, which would be the higher echelon of the Democrat Party and also the Republican Party, are all going to be facing some kind of criminal charges if this is true.
But not with Holder, where he is. If you've got Holder in charge, who's gonna arrest who?
And this goes back to why we have to get people. Well, the constitutional sheriff is one thing, but it goes back to, what about the rest of these morons that are in the Senate and the House who should be impeaching him? And again,
right,
it goes back to the fact we don't have any representation. The people who are in office aren't who we voted for. It's for the establishment that keeps these same morons in there who don't do anything about this stuff.
We still have something going for us, and it's right in the Constitution. Now remember,
well, it is the Constitution.
Yeah, right. I'm saying we got the Supreme Court of the United States, and if they don't take care of it and do the right thing for the people, whether they're liberal or conservative, they do not take the proper action, and we have nobody in Congress that takes the proper action, and the states don't take any action. I'm talking about the mayor, governors and the legislators. It reverts back to the people, and then the people can take the action. If it means going through the ballot box, do we impeach? Boom. What do we do? And also, there's one saving grace that we all have here in America, and I think we need to really, how would you say, pray for this, because we have 23 million veterans who served the country and took an oath to uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States, and they meant
our military.
It.
Yes.
That's right. And our military.
Yes. No.
And they are
And
Japan did not come after America, because they knew that we had so many guns just in Wisconsin, West Virginia, Georgia, and in one other state, New Hampshire, I think it was. There was over 2.3 million guns just in those four states. So they knew that.
I know, and that's why they want so badly to get rid of them. You know, but
that's right.
See, I don't know. There's a spider web, and everything is connected. For instance, I believe very strongly that the reason they're suing the state of Arizona is because there's a reason they want that Arizona weak. They've been shipping guns into
Mexico.
Oh, dear, what is that noise? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
No.
Okay. There's a reason in my suspicious mind. There's a reason they ship those guns into Mexico. We've been told there's 2,800. For all we know, there was 28,000. We don't know how many guns went down there. Sheriff Babeau, who is the sheriff of Pinal County, came out in January and said there is 200,000 Hezbollah militants in right on the Mexican border, right along the Mexican border. If that's true, and I suspect that it is because he seems a very credible sheriff, he came out and said they're right there. Now, who's shipping guns to them and why? Really examine the Fast and Furious thing, seriously, someone with an IQ of 22 wouldn't have sent those guns down there.
Right. It's really more to the point that Obama is arming his own takeover on the other side. So, and they keep talking about something's going to happen before this election, and it's probably all tied to that same stuff going on down there.
You remember during his election, he said that he wanted a civil army larger, more well-trained, and more well-funded than than our own military. And the big question was, why? Here we go back to the media again. Here's how you prove that they how in bed with this whole thing they are, and how they do not broadcast in the public interest. Who asked him, what the hell do you mean by that?
Nobody.
No, they don't. They don't ask them any tough questions.
And so how do we know how many people are right over the border being trained right now? How there's no way for us to know, you know, and there could be. I mean, I'm not saying that there are. I'm just saying it's a possibility that he has people training someplace right now. Maybe not. Maybe that's my suspicious mind again. On the other hand, he's very cozy with the United Nations. And maybe there's some, you know, United Nations thing. Now, I know that we've got, you know, I hate to get way out in the weeds, but I really think that something is going to happen before the election. I write commercials, and by the way, I'd like to tell anybody that is listening right now that if you would like to view some of my commercials, if you don't mind me taking this moment, Sally, from your radio podcast, go to libertymediapros.com, and you can view my commercials. And I have a commercial there that I did specifically about the NDAA, but there's other commercials too. I mean, I definitely don't hold back. And the commercials are getting out. I'm working right now with the National Gun Owners of America, just the Gun Owners of America, and I did a commercial about Fast and Furious and Brian Terry's death, and that they're going to be running that on Fox. We're going to, I'd like to be able to get the NDAA sponsored somehow. That spot needs to be out running because people are not even talking about it, don't even know about it, and yet here we have a president or whatever he is, who can pick you up. He, you know, the guy's a fake and a phony, and he can pick us up off the streets.
But you have a House and a Senate that passed it, too.
Yeah, I know.
That's even more scary than what this moron is doing in the White House. That's why,
well,
you know, we said, you know, if we don't change who's in the Senate and in the House, and, I mean, the House has all these Republicans, so-called conservatives. Do we have any constitutionalists in there? I asked, it's one of my number one questions for any candidate running. Well, what part of the Constitution do you believe in? Because it's obviously you don't believe in all of it.
And shouldn't we have some sort of new rule? It can be state rules, maybe, where we demand that they take some sort of written test, and they passed the test, and that we know that they understand the Constitution before they even get to run in the first place.
Yeah, they should know how to spell Constitution and be able to take a test and pass on it.
I think
that would be great, but,
yes,
you know, you get all these crazy lawyers that should know the Constitution, but they don't. But then they, you know, they were taught to manipulate the law in their favor.
They know. They just ignore.
Right.
Obama, you know, I mean, I don't know that he was – see, I don't even believe that he sat in the Reverend Wright's church for 20 years. People say, he sat there for 20 years. How the hell do you know? Did you watch him? I didn't. I wasn't there. They're just telling me that. Maybe he went in there twice in the last 20 years. Well, of course, now that guy's turned on him, you know. Oh, it's a snake.
Funny how that happened.
Yeah. But anyway, we're looking at a guy who claims that he's, you know, all of these things, and a constitutional professor who, if he was a constitutional professor and understood the Constitution, would have never written the Health Care Act. Would have never been done.
But it's almost like, because he doesn't truly believe in the Constitution, he knows it to the extent that he can try. He will manipulate it to the max.
Exactly.
He will work, you know. So he truly is the enemy from within. And people, we've been saying it on this show for a long time. You know, people, Al Qaeda is not the enemy. It's these people that are in public office that are the enemies. One, such as Obama and what he's doing. But Obama cannot do this all alone. What about what is going on in that Senate and in that House, and then at the state level and everything else? Obama could never do this totally by himself. So where are the American patriots? What happened to these people who swore an oath when they went into office to protect the Constitution? And then, again, what are our rights to go out there and fight it? We can easily prove they don't report this stuff on the news.
But it's a culmination of a deteriorating social ethic. We have, over the years, become much more tolerant of some pretty bad behavior. Because I was just talking to Vicki Dooling about this, and I said, you know, when you look at Oprah Winfrey. When you look at Phil Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, all of the people, Montel Williams, the people that we invited into our home by turning on the television, over a long period of time, 20, 30 years, they brought us all the wacky nut jobs and lunatics and whatever, and legitimized them, made them into more mainstream. You know, okay, so the guy, you know, wears his wife's underwear on Thursdays, but he's a nice guy, you know. That kind of stuff has been brought into our homes for so long that we've really lost, I really think we've lost a component of our moral edge. And I don't think we passed a strong enough ethic along to many of our children. Those who did, their children want to punch them in the nose. I know I raised one. But, you know, I just that constant, where is your honor? Where is your moral ethic? Honor is a word that people look at you and go, what? Unless they're military people, they're like, what are you talking about? Honor? How weird. So we've lost something, and the people that are in Washington are unfortunately pretty much a reflection of us. And unless we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps as a people, I think we're just really, I don't know how we get out of it. You've got to be patriots. You've got to be honorable. You have to be somebody, not just a follower. We just have to look at this world and understand that we've got to get back even partway to who we were, to where we do stand for what we need to stand for.
Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. From what I've been hearing and from your email and what Sally told me today, plus also Vicki Dooling and Karen Steelman, and then we have Edna Matos here in Citrus County, this complaint is starting to get recognized. And if the people have even one-tenth of the patriotism that you are displaying, we are on our way to doing something, because all it has to do from Las Vegas is jump over into in California. California, although it's quite liberal, there's still a lot of wonderful people there, because I lived there for 24 years.
You're an escapee just like me.
Yeah, I escaped, but I escaped all the way to Orlando, Florida.
Right, I only got as far as Nevada and stopped. But seriously, if they would start up in Northern California and come right down the border and drill holes every so often and fill them with dynamite until they got to the bottom and set it off all at one time and set that whole state afloat, be fine with me.
Oh, yeah. Well, then that would give you, like everybody says, you'd have beach property.
I'm only 7 miles from the California border. It'd be lovely. I tell you, in a way, my heart breaks for California, and in a way, they ask for it, and they can't stop themselves. They are so immersed in their own stupidity that they can't see their own stupidity. And I guess, really, you know, Michael Savage, if you listen to him, he says liberalism is a mental disease, but he's not wrong. It's not just a cliche, or it's not just glib. It's so. They really aren't okay in the head, but they think they are, and they think everybody else is nuts.
That's right. Now, see, when I was there, I left there in 81. So I was there.
Oh, wow, you left before I left. I left in 87.
You left in, well, 87 is when I retired from the airlines. I was able to get early out, so I just went out, and I went down to the Virgin Islands and did some other things. But anyway, when I was there, it wasn't quite like it is. I mean, they were still having complaints about too many illegal aliens. We still call them wetbacks and everything else when I left. That was in 81.
They just released figures that there's more minority children being born in this country now than white children.
Go ahead.
Well, this began in 1964. With LBJ, And he and Ted Kennedy came up with this, you know, we used to screen people. You used to have to be healthy to get into the United States. You used to have certain criteria, and you didn't have to be rich, but you had to have certain criteria to get in here. Today, we've got a welcome sign to every single third world country, and we take the lowest of the low. We've got crime like we've never had. We've just got terrible situations, and it's not because of the color of their skin, but it's because of the lack of ethics and what have you of the people they allow into the country.
Right, right.
And I'm not so sure that that wasn't a very well planned part of the effort to take us in a different direction, and I'm
in
not liking the direction at all. And I have,
yeah.
And believe me, I was raised in California, and I've been raised around Mexican people my whole life. I've had friends that are Mexican. I've had employees that are Mexican. And I totally respect them and think the world of them. They're the hardest working, most decent people. But, you know, I know a fellow who, and this is a really interesting story, I know a guy who's illegal, and a very, very hardworking, decent man. And I said to him, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call an immigration lawyer, and I'm going to get you a work card. I'm going to get you a green card. And I said, I'll sponsor it and see what we can do about that. And he said, oh, that would be good, you know. So I called an immigration, the number one immigration lawyer in Las Vegas, and I said, I want to sponsor him. You know, how much is this going to cost us? What do we have to do to get this green card? And she said, there's a 15-year wait for a green card.
Wow.
And I said, what are you talking about? She said, the government will not issue a green card for 15 years. So you tell me who's driving poor people across that border that want to work.
Yeah,
and
right.
I said to him, do you think maybe if they make you guys go home or something, what are you going to do? And he said, I can't go home. He said, right now, he said, in the little town that I'm from, he said, they're killing 3 people a week. And their bodies are, he said, they're killed someplace else and they throw them in the middle of the street. And you come out and there's dead people laying there. And I said, what? And he said, this is a little bitty town. And he said, but they're doing this to intimidate everyone. If they tell you you're going to carry drugs, he said, you're going to carry drugs. And he said, they want people to go carry drugs across the border. And he said, so nobody has the nerve to say no.
And what
see,
do we do
we don't
here?
Know everything that's going on down there. But there are some really bad things going. And here we go back to the moral fabric of America. You tell me why we are their biggest customer and why we look at the people that are being killed, beheaded, and mutilated, and people can't put down their stupid drugs and stop taking their drugs in order to cut that, just cut the head off that snake. Why? They don't, because, I mean, do people no longer have a conscience? I tell everybody, and I will say it right here, if you do illegal drugs, you got blood on your hands, and that's all there is to it.
Right.
So, and I think that's a message that everybody should hear. I think the children in school should be taught that. They should be taught what's going on and that they do not want to participate or be part of that.
And I don't blame.
But we have a culture
that
really wants, in the interest of controlling people, they want people to be on the drugs. To me, it's all part of this whole one world order, this whole Agenda 21, this massive takeover to redistribute wealth. You know, George Bush Jr. had with his father's help, true, really. But the North American Union trying to, it's just, the whole thing is so disgusting. We're in such bad shape.
I was on the air during the whole NAFTA debate, and if anyone with a memory, hello out there, Bill Clinton, before he was elected, said, there's no way, I'm not getting involved in NAFTA. He got elected. He was not sworn into office yet. It was like late November, just after he was elected. He said, I'm going to fast track that. It's going right through.
Yeah. It's the whole process. I mean, what is it going to take to get enough people to wake up? Now, I know that You guys have been helping promote the complaint. Are you getting a sense that you got some people in the Las Vegas area that are going to maybe go file a complaint with the FBI locally, or including the county sheriff too? I think Charlie was mentioning earlier, because that's what Joe Arpaio did when it came to the investigation of Obama. A constitutional sheriff can do something too. So, what are you getting a sense of doing that kind of thing and trying to get people more engaged to take take action, do something?
I don't really – I would be lying to you if I said we're doing something. I don't think we've done anything yet, and only because I just really understood what you were doing yesterday.
Okay.
And I think Vicki knew, but I don't think Vicki mentioned it to me, but we didn't zero in on it because we have so many other things we're doing. And when she said to me yesterday, you really got to read this, and I said, okay. And so then when I took the time to read it, and so that's when I said, oh, my gosh, look what these people are doing. And so we haven't really done what we need to do with it. But what we need to do is have a press conference. But we need to get all our ducks in a line first, and we need to look at, like I said, we need to bring a group of citizens together and file exactly what you're filing, and maybe also file on some of the broadcasters in the area.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, what a would be. If you start firing on these broadcasters, they're going to have a heart attack. Because really, like I said, you don't have anything that's really of any great worth except that license. If you go to sell your radio station or your TV station, the transfer of that license is what the big deal is. Anybody can buy a desk and a computer and a TV camera. But not everybody can get hold of those licenses. You know, they only issue so many. And, of course, the NBC, see, I don't know exactly. I know they've got a ton of, that would be enough, actually. If you filed on their affiliates would look to them and say, wait a minute, you haven't been covering this. How can we carry that? If it's up to them to either sever their relationship with NBC or demand that NBC start representing the people. So it really is something that could be looked into, really a movement that could be started nationwide, because I bet you've got an NBC affiliate in your community.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, yes.
The news so that they don't have to get too controversial.
Yeah.
Do what?
West TV. WESH is the.
And if you just put change the E to an A, you got to wash. They wash the news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Well,
actually, they wash the news.
let's say that you guys were doing that, and somebody in Tennessee was doing that, somebody in Washington State, somebody in California, somebody in Arizona. Do you know the earthquake that would start? File what you're filing and start going after these broadcasters for not – then the whole thing is not broadcasting in the public interest.
This is a winner.
Can you email us that law that you said was there that we can follow?
I don't have it right off the top of my head, but I mean I don't have it in my file or anything. But it's the FCC. I'm sure you could just Google the FCC and see what their why they were formed, why were they formed, and what are they supposed to be doing? The whole thing will say they're broadcasting in the public interest. The loons in the New World Order forgot to try and change that.
Right.
That's,
we can do a little bit of research on their license, their current license, and then we can say, well, wait a minute, you failed to report on this, you falsely report on this, and those kind of things, and then start putting it together. But, I mean, it would take putting it together just like we did with a complaint for the FBI on the ballot box. So we would need to do that. We would want to have some good documentation to go with it.
Yes, you have to have the documentation and it has to be put together. But what I'm saying is you should have a template
right.
that people download, or you could mail it to them. You could download it. I could download it, and we could sign it here for the ballot box and take that to our FBI, just a template, and all we have to do is change the name to Nevada, just leave a blank where the state is, and or we can retype it ourselves and fill in the state, but use the same verbiage because it's ready to roll, and
oh, yeah?
Everybody can do that. So you just have a template and do the same thing for the FCC. And see, here's the thing. When you file for the FCC, if you put a group of people together, this is serious. I mean, this is a serious matter. If you put a group of people together in your community that have some funds, there's some wealthy people in the community that would back this, you can actually take their license. You actually could, in some instances, you can get it. Maybe all of them, because they have been so flagrant at not reporting for so many years. I don't know. But I do know that they have to meet certain criteria. And in their public files, which are not called public for no reason, you can go in and look at them. You can demand to look at their public file at any broadcast facility, and you can check it out. And if, you know, you may find all kinds of stuff in there. I don't know. Worth a look.
Oh,
well, the
definitely.
Thing is that we could look and see if they're omitting anything, like failing to inform the people about certain things that were there just by looking at what they've already published. And if they didn't say...
Reporting properly. You've got local stories like the one I told you about with our Tea Party here that was totally misrepresented to the community. And you've got the way they're constantly running the Tea Party, a bunch of racists and everything. It's never been proven. You've got the NDAA that was never reported. If it was, it was in such passing, it's not even funny. I don't know, you know, but they'll tell you about Trayvon Martin. And NBC deliberately edited the tape on Trayvon Martin.
Right.
There you go right there. There's a big deal to hang your hat on. There's several things, and they never came back and apologized. They never reported on it. If they reported on it here, I never saw them. And they, you know, they archive that stuff, so they've got, if you just look at them and go, prove it. Go show me that you reported this. Show me how many times you reported on it. But you'll find all the Trayvon Martin all over and over and over ad nauseum, and nothing about the NDAA.
Another one that we could actually probably research too, Sally, would be the 9/12. Because when we got home, Bill O'Reilly said there were 78,000 people at the 9/12. And I was even on his I was a premium member of his, and I sent him a lot of things, and I said, you are absolutely, you know, totally misinformed. There was 1.75 million people there for the 9/12 gathering in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Sally and I were backed up to the reflection pond about maybe 400 feet from the stage.
Right,
And I stood up in the back of my pickup truck, and I was looking over there, and I could not see the end of the parade all the way by the Washington Monument.
Wow.
I mean, I was looking all the way down there, and Sally went down there, and she started marching, and I don't know how long it took, about a good 30, 40 minutes to walk that distance. And it was all across the road, about 30 people wide.
Well, see, one of the things that we do, too, and I don't know if you know this, you probably do, but they count people by putting a grid over.
Yeah.
They have a grid. They take an aerial photo, and they have a grid, and they know how many people approximately are inside of each one of these boxes.
Yeah.
On the grid.
Yeah.
I protested there back in 1989, and they reported that there was 20,000 of us, and there had to be 125,000 people there.
Oh, yeah.
So somehow or another, they switch whoever they want to diss at the time, they just go ahead and do. So, you know, I don't know. It's a nightmare that we're facing because, I mean, I look at this and think to myself, I mean, tell me, okay, now we've seen it in black and white that Obama was born in Kenya. Okay, there it is. Now, how do we move this ball forward And when we do, if they do pull him, take his ticket to ride away and pull him out and arrest him, is the black community going to just get crazy mad?
They might.
And say, oh, you know, I mean, well, the white man's done it to us again? Or are they going to say, hey, we don't want an illegal president either? I don't think so, because they voted for him no matter what. And it makes me crazy that we're at this situation with our own fellow citizens.
I think that if the media does it the right way and they start saying right now that there is a possibility that President Barack Obama has violated the Constitution of the United States in a very, very, how would you say, egregious way, and they start saying that now, then if it becomes the truth, or because you know, they have to do it and they do it, that he will be removed from office. People were blindsided by Barack Obama because he is not a legal resident of the United States of America, and he has admitted it so.
Well, the other piece of it, too, is if at the same time, if they show that he was, in fact, building an army right south of the border to try and take over, and some of these other things of how he truly was becoming a dictator, taking over this country, I think black people who like their freedom would support that. The question's going to be, and here's what the whole subject we're talking about, what's going to be conveyed in the media? The media, and why would the media want to slant the downfall? I don't understand what some of these people who are in the media, how many of them are communist or whatever it is, because they don't seem to believe in reporting the truth.
Well,
and I just don't understand how even they can be so controlled when it's the total downfall of this country. They are helping to promote the destruction of this country.
But you have to understand, they don't hire anybody. I owned a radio station. Let me tell you that back in 1994 is when we sold it. At that particular period of time, you could hardly find anyone coming out of broadcasting school that A, had a brain, B, had an education, and C, didn't start slamming the stories the minute they came through the door. We'd call them into the office and go, what did you just report? Well, we had people on the air, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And, you know, let me ask you this. In talking about this, does this go back to, you know, I've said it for years, the Mimi syndrome. You know, I think we should have a class action suit against the Cleavers because they brainwash people into what they think family and what life is and what you're supposed to do and all these kind of crazy things. But this Mimi syndrome and the effect of television, how people have been brainwashed that you have to have something, you know, people only want to see blood and guts and goriness and how they think that's the only way they're going to get that master story that's going to get all their attention, and then they're going to be the meme because they're going to be number one and all this other stupid stuff. Why they got to slant it? They can't just do the job. There's no Mike Wallace out there, so to speak, who is just out there reporting what the truth is.
Well, I don't know that Mike Wallace always did, but he was close. But what I'm saying to you is we've been fed, and that's why I said earlier, Oprah, you know, all of them, they all brought all the people, the drug users, the drunks, the cross-dressers, all of these different people who live this oddball, and I would call my personal opinion in many cases a perverted kind of lifestyle. And they tried to normalize it and make it mainstream. At the same time, Hollywood has been cranking out dysfunctional, immoral, blood and guts, sex, drugs, and rock and roll has been pushed into the entire conversation. And, of course, if anyone wants to really find out, they need to sit and just study Marx and Engels and Gramsci and read about what their plan was. They did exactly what they planned to do. Their slow march through society was to absolutely eviscerate us from within. You know, wasn't it Ciro that said something to the effect of the enemy at the gate is less of a problem than the enemy from within because you cannot recognize the enemy from within. He speaks your own language.
Right.
And
yeah,
that
definitely.
is, and that's what we're dealing with when we deal with our society. That's why I said we have to clean up our act. We have to demand honesty. Look, a perfect example to me is that Elizabeth Warren up in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
She's been caught red-handed. She is an absolute liar and has gamed the system for years with her lie. She found a way to lie. She perpetuated the lie. She used the lie to her own benefit. And she's still sitting neck and neck with Scott Brown.
Exactly. And so where is the outcry? There's been a little coverage on it, but not much. And where is the outcry from those that are around her who are witnessing and who would be the ones to also take the action, because she should be dethroned? And for those who don't know what this is about, she claims she was a Native Indian or something, Native American, somehow bloodline in there, and then she gamed the system to get benefits for college and this and that, and she got the job. Of course, now she's trying to claim she always got the job because of how great she was or something stupid, but she had to go right down on all her resumes that she was a Native American trying to game the system to get something. And she, and this is, but the media says a little. They said a little about it, because I heard about it too, but those who would be in power to do something about it, those who assume that responsibility to enforce the laws don't do anything.
But it's not even that, Sally. It's not even that. When you stop and think about it, who's the 45% that said they're still going to vote for her? Do they have no moral compass whatsoever? I mean, I'd like to make a moral compass and send it to them. I'd like them to take a look. Why are they not questioning themselves? Why would I vote for an out-and-out liar? But then, it's same exact thing when that Wiener guy got caught with his shenanigans. He had about a 45% still people that wanted him in there. What does it take? Do they have to come, like, shoot you in the head or steal your firstborn before you finally figure it out? Where are people's – where's your inner self? What is it that's in you that can put up and tolerate someone who's lied to you for years and you'll still vote for them? Do you think they're going to go to Washington and then be a great representative?
Those are the people, Charlie.
Excuse me, but I believe those are the people who are on the freebie list. They're the ones who are getting benefits from the taxpayers.
Yeah.
And he's out there saying, I'm going to get you this, I'm going to, and he did all of that. And so all of those who don't pay any taxes, who get money from the taxpayers, such as housing and all that type of thing, they still get the chance to vote. So they're going to vote for the guy that's been getting them the stuff, and they are not going to change because they don't want to put somebody else in there.
But that's only part of the case. We know people who are still going to support Obama, even though Obama has done absolutely nothing to improve their lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
But we know they're going to because they like the way he talks, and that's really all it comes down to. The American, the mentality of some of the American voters to just vote for whoever and whoever sounds good. Rubio. Why would anybody vote for Rubio? While he was in the House, which again, this is another thing the media did their best to not tell people about. While he was the Speaker of the Florida House, 11 times he blocked legislation on immigration. 11 times. Why would you vote for Rubio if you're a so-called conservative constitutionalist and don't believe in amnesty? Because that's what he is. And here you've got a stupid political party that wants him to be the vice president.
And he just came out today in favor of the DREAM Act.
Exactly. So would you people wake up? You know, what is it? The saddest part, and you know, I'm going to get into one other rant here for a minute, but the thing is, because he's got a cute face, so you're going to vote for a pretty face, huh? That's what's important to you? He'll rob you blind, but he's got a pretty face, so you're going to enjoy it? I mean, these people are sick if this is the way you think. And I'll tell you, what's happening with this Republican presidential nomination process, the misrepresentation by the media of the delegates and how the RNC, you know, they have the right to vote for whoever they want to, how they are shoving Romney down the people's throats. And, you know, people are saying, well, it's either Romney or Obama. I have made it perfectly clear to any Yahoo Republican out there, if you're stupid enough to follow this Republican Party, stupid enough to vote for Romney Care, then you're going to get what you deserve. I will not vote for either one of those two people. I am not going to keep the status quo going on. When will you Americans start voting for America instead of some stupid party or a pretty face?
But if you don't have, if you have no one else to vote for, and there's only two people out there, and you don't vote, you vote for Obama. And
well,
if you do vote, you vote for at least someone that wasn't born in Kenya and is not a member of the Communist Party. That
right.
At least it's a step in the right direction. It's not a good step, but it's a better step than what you can take with Obama, because Obama, he's got a really evil plan for us in his second term. Romney is still, no matter what, and I totally agree with you, so don't misconstrue what I'm saying. He is absolutely into the New World Order boys. I know he is. But I believe him to be a moral man. They had to go to when he was 16 years old to find out something that he did, some stupid prank in high school, because he is a family man. He loves his family. He goes to and I don't know how it is in Florida, but I'll tell you now, I live amongst the Mormons. We are 50% Mormon in Nevada, and they are some of the finest human beings you will ever deal with. And, I mean, they just are. I'm not saying that the bad ones like Harry Reid don't exist. They do. But the good ones are absolutely remarkable, kind, caring, very community-minded, very just my neighbors, my direct neighbors are Mormons, and I couldn't live that next door to more fine, respectable people. So in that, those things about Romney give me some glimmering of hope. Now, whether he can get in there, I think he's a liberal, believe me. I don't think he's a conservative.
He's not.
But if he gets in there, he's not a communist, and he doesn't have, a death march planned in his head, maybe enough pressure, we can get him focused to remember that he's an American before he's a New Worlder.
Well, let me add, on that note, we had a guest on, it's been a while now, Patricia Erickson. She wrote the book, Mitt Romney Serve Two Masters? And it talked
That's
about...
a good question, isn't it?
She was quite, it was interesting, her discussion about it. She was very detailed and a lot of experience on it. So that obviously, again, made me think of what he's going to do once he gets there. But really, more to the point, I guarantee you there's going to be more than two people on that ballot. The question is going to be, are people going to run scared that they have to vote for either a Republican or a Democrat? That is going to be my fear. Personally, I'm out there promoting that people should write in Ron Paul or do something else.
Write in on those machines, for one thing. There's nowhere to write in. And let me tell you that I was a complete supporter of Ross Perot.
Yes, yeah, so was
and
I.
Good girl,
Bill,
so was I.
Yeah, we got Bill Clinton. You know, I can hear, and I keep saying this to people, remember him telling you about the big sucking sound?
Oh, yeah.
Your jobs are leaving this country. But the jobs were leaving the country on purpose. They figured it this way. They like I said, I have studied this since 1986. The jobs have not left because of, our tax structure. Yeah,
right.
They structured the taxes that way on purpose to force businesses out of the country. And the whole idea to make America just like Obama, you got to say once in a while, he tells the truth. And it's so ugly that people refuse to pay attention. But just like he said, America is, it's an exceptional, just like Greece is, and just like Italy, and just like Spain. We're just like everyone else because that's what they want us to be. And they've taken away, we've witnessed the biggest theft in the history of the world, and we're the ones that got robbed, and some of us are so stupid, we haven't figured it out.
I know.
Well, I'll tell you, on this show, we have said on more than one occasion, and I mean, I repeat it frequently, that, there's part of me that thinks the U.S., the fall of Rome routine, the U.S. has already fallen, we're just too stupid to know it, but I keep the faith that, yes, we can still turn this around, and like I was telling you earlier, too, it's like the fact that it only takes a minority of us to make a difference. Well, I think we still have a fighting chance. I don't think it's over yet, but at times I truly wonder, it's like, what are you people doing? Would you please wake up and smell the coffee? Would you focus more on what's happening in your community, in your country, versus watching a stupid Super Bowl game? What's more important? Would you, Super Bowl game is fine, but...
You know, Through history, there's only been certain people who lead. And it's just like, I mean, there's some sort of statistical information about if you're in a fire in a building and there's a whole group of people, 10% will figure out what to do, 80% will follow that 10%, and 10% will run into the fire.
Right.
But the 80% that is willing to follow, they'll just follow whoever, wherever it is that looks like it's the best.
Right.
And that's what we have. We have people who look for the easiest, what's best for me, we've lost. I mean, our children, there's a debate whether to say a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Are you kidding me?
Disgusting.
Outrageous. What are we allowing in our schools? How are we allowing that? I mean, I go down to Walmart sometimes, and I see people standing there with two kids, and they've got piercings and tattoos and white beater t-shirts and Bermuda shorts with patches all over their legs and everything, and they're sitting there holding this little 3-year-old, and I'm thinking, my dad didn't look like that. How does that affect you when your dad looks like that? I don't know. But I mean, I'm criticizing. Why does someone want to look like that? And what does that say? And does this guy care about the country? I mean, I engage people. Don't misunderstand me. If I'm in the right mood, I'll say, excuse me, and I'll just start talking to them about, you know, what we're talking about, and to try and get a read on people and understand. But this guy doesn't look like he's really too concerned about whether they say the Pledge of Allegiance at school. Somewhere along the line, we lost patriotism, and I think what it was, and I do think a huge portion of our problem is we got rid of the draft.
Yeah.
And I think when you send young men, and you don't have to send them to war. If there's no war, it doesn't matter. You put them in the military. You teach them to take an oath to the Constitution, to have discipline, and to believe in their country. And that is what we're missing in all the little drugged out, doped out, little gangbangers and all the things that we have. They've lost respect for everything. And I'm serious, Sally. I think we have to take this back. Not just through what you're doing, because what you're doing is perfect, but we also have to remind ourselves to be a moral people.
True.
Oh, yeah.
And we talk about that frequently on here, too. This, you know, Glenn Beck was one, you know, talking about this a while back. And yes, we are one nation under God.
Yes, we are.
Yep. That's the T-shirt
right.
I wear tomorrow.
Yep, and it goes back, and Charlie has given the history lesson several times about the founding fathers. They were a moral people. And you know, this political correctness, you know, I remember a while back I was told the same thing that makes you strong also makes you weak. And for the longest time I didn't quite understand that. And it's like, we, as a free society, we let people do so much, and that we go out and we go to such an extreme that these people have lost any sense of value, true values, any moral values, any character, any integrity, because we let people do their own thing. So
and I'll
tell
you another component of this. I'm so sick of hearing white men being bashed at every corner. Our men have been just kicked and bruised and beaten for so many years. And you know what? If you look at history, they were aggressive. Oh, yes, they were. And they developed most everything and created most everything. And we're sitting here and allowing them to be defamed and demoralized. And I'm sick of that crap, too.
Yep. It's definitely part of it.
I don't think you don't have to defame one person to lift another person up.
Exactly.
That's been
the mentality. That is the you're number one. Do whatever it takes. And this, all you got to do is look at a crazy football field. They'll bash people's heads in so they get a touchdown. I mean, there's this mentality, this decline of the culture, which leads to all the rest. I'm totally in agreement with you.
Yeah, totally.
Got one thing.
Well, Kelly, I think you're out of time, and I know I am. I've got my horses want to eat. I've got to go pick up hay.
Oh,
we got
that's
three
right.
Minutes
it's earlier
left
back
so.
There. It's early.
Yeah.
Can you, come on the show Monday?
Pardon me?
Can you come on the show Monday again?
I'll give it a shot.
call in any time, really. Monday and Thursday, we're here. And we'd love to have you, because I'm sure you're going to have more information to say come Monday.
All right, yes, I'm going to really do some checking, too. Let me call you over the weekend on your other number, and we'll talk, and then we'll line things up.
Good.
Sounds
and
great.
Whatever you can do with this thing, and thank you again for your support, and thank you for your kind words about it, because we really worked a long time, over 10 months on it. Anybody who ever contacts you and says, oh, we should be able to do that, go ahead and do it, whatever you can, use it, because that's what it's for. If we can get other places to file with the FBI a complaint, then that would be two places if Vegas did it. Then if somebody else does it, that's three. And, I mean, it could go, like somebody said, let's get it in every state. I think Vicki Dooling said that. Let's try to get it in every state. Well,
okay.
And go after the broadcast facilities, too. I think we've got a plan. Nice being with you, and I will call you.
Okay, thank you so much. We really enjoyed the discussion, and we look forward to talking to you on Monday.
Okay, good. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we are getting down to the last minute here. Well, that was a very interesting discussion, and hopefully she'll be able to, Tina can join us again on Monday or sometime next week and give us an update on some things, and also share more of the information on the broadcast piece, so that's great. Okay, final words from you, Mr. Charlie.
Everybody should watch Sean Hannity tonight. He's going to be talking about Reverend Wright and Obama, some tapes from Breitbart. So I'm switching right over to Obama. I'm over to Hannity. God bless America. God bless our troops. Good night.
Good night, Charlie. Okay, and on that note, just a reminder, I will be attending the Women Conservative Rise on Saturday. Conservative Women Rise, Saturday over in Lakeland. I'm going to be a speaker there. I'll be talking about the We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. And it's if you need more information, go to conservativefeminist.com and get the information. And then I'll give you a full update on that on Monday as well. And please, please get involved. We've got a plan here. We can make a difference. Everybody's got to work together and be united to take back this country. We can do it. We absolutely can, and we must. So on that note, thank you for tuning in, and as always, may God bless the USA. Good night.